Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So I really like to think that I'm a pretty patient person. You know, I can deal with a lot of stuff before I get too frustrated. But there's just one thing that really, really bothers me rather quickly. Being placed on hold. It's just such a waste of time. I hate it. You know, if you've ever called the phone company or the cable or satellite or internet or whoever it might be, you sort of painstakingly go through the stupid automated system, right? And you have to listen and sort of wait. And then you get through the automated system, you think, great, now I'm going to talk to a real person. But then instead you hear this crappy music that's either, you know, choppy and pixelated and, you know, it comes in and out, or, you know, even worse than that is when the company with which you are already a customer plays advertisements for their company. Like, I don't know anybody who's like, oh, I want to call Comcast now to find out what their advertisements are because I might want to be their customer. It doesn't work that way. It's so redundant and stupid. Now, I'm not a monster, okay? I understand that companies can only hire so many people for the call center. There's only so many people that can fit in a building, so many people that they can sort of allot to be the call center people, and that's fine. But once we start hitting the 15-minute mark or the 20-minute mark, that's about the time when I'm just about ready to hang up the phone and say, forget it. But every time I look at my phone to sort of hit the button to turn it off, you know, every time I go to hang it up, I think to myself, but what if I'm the next caller? What if all I have to do is wait another 15 seconds and I'll be the one to talk to a representative? And I think to myself, do I want to go through the whole hassle of the stupid automated system and the crappy music and then wait on hold for another 15 minutes at another point in my life? Or I could just hang on for 30 more seconds. Granted, it's never 30 seconds. I end up sitting there another 20 minutes, right? But that's not the point. The point is you have that thing in your mind where you go, but what if I'm next? Well, today's reading, God gives us sort of the same thing. You see, he seemingly places his people on hold. We've arrived to the second Sunday in Advent, and our gospel text focuses on John the Baptizer, the one who proclaims Jesus as this Messiah that was promised of old, the one who then Peter says is going to be coming again. Now think about it for a moment. Put yourself in the place of people during John's day. They had been waiting for a Savior, waiting for this promised Messiah who has been promised to them forever. In fact, Adam and Eve had the promise of a Savior. They had the promise that somebody would come and crush Satan's head and Satan would be done for forever and everything would be hunky-dory again. Well, and Adam and Eve get the wrong idea, right? They have their first kid and they're like, oh, finally, you know, he's here. And, you know, they got it all sort of mixed up. But, you know, they waited and they waited and they waited and they waited and then they died. They really thought they were going to see the Messiah in their lifetime, but then they died waiting. Now, we're told in the Gospels that it's 14 generations later that Abraham comes into existence. And so 14 generations are waiting for the Savior, and then Abraham comes, and God renews the promise. Messiah is coming. The whole world is going to be blessed because of your offspring. And Abraham, when he's like 100 years old, has Isaac, and he goes, finally! But it's not Isaac either. Isaac isn't the Messiah. And then eventually what happens to Abraham? But he dies. And then they wait and they wait and they wait and they wait and generations die and die. And then you finally get 14 generations later, David, who in my opinion is one of the greatest Old Testament figures. But David comes and he thinks, okay, finally, we're going to have this kingdom, this wonderful kingdom. Messiah is going to come. We're all going to be saved. And then they wait and they wait and they wait and they wait. And they're all dying in the meantime. And every generation thinks they're going to be the one to finally see the Messiah. Until John. Well, what did God expect, right? What did God expect from the Old Testament people of Israel? Well, I'll tell you what they expected. He expected them not to hang up the phone, so to speak. He didn't want them to be frustrated in waiting. He wanted them to wait in the promises until the time he knew was right for Jesus to be born into the world. Please wait for the next available representative, Messiah. Your salvation is important to us. Eventually Jesus comes, right? John the Baptizer. And he has the great privilege of being the last Old Testament prophet. We have these words: "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Finally, God follows through with his promise. The Messiah comes, and John gets to be the one to say, "That's the guy. He's finally here." And now we have the scriptures. And the scriptures tell us all about the salvation story from Adam and Eve through John the Baptist. And now even we know about Jesus' life. We know about his death. We know about his resurrection. We know about the gifts that he gives out to his people through baptism and the Lord's Supper and the word that gets proclaimed to good Christian people. And we have all of these things that sustain our faith. We know the promised Messiah. We don't have to wait any longer. Except then Jesus leaves. Right? He ascends into heaven. He goes up into the clouds and we go, "Wait a minute." He goes, "Don't worry, I'm coming back." It's like somebody picked up the phone. You know, you're on hold and somebody goes, "Can you hold for just another 10 minutes? I guess so." It's awful. And so Peter gives us these words to sort of sustain us through this time where we have to wait again, where we've been placed on hold again. He says, "Don't overlook this one fact, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." You see, he gives us these words to know why we have to be kept on hold, to know why we have to wait for the coming of the Lord. Because the truth is, we see all of the problems of the world. We got wildfires in California. We got natural disasters across the world. We got problems with North Korea and Russia and everywhere else. And there's wars and all this other crap is going on. And we go, "What gives? Come back now, Jesus. The time is right." But God is patient. And he doesn't just look at our time, but he looks at each generation. He looks at the generations between Adam and Eve and Abraham. He looks at the generations between Abraham and David. He looks at the generations between David and Jesus. And he looks at the generations between Jesus and now. And guess what? He's even looking at the generations between now and when Jesus comes again. He knows every single person who will ever be born in this world, and he loves them. He loves them. And he doesn't want them to miss their chance. And so he gives every generation that lives on this earth an opportunity to realize their sin and repent, to trust in Jesus wholeheartedly for their salvation. Because he doesn't want any generation to miss being in heaven. He desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But we're not God. I don't know what God knows. I can't see all of time sort of stretched out in front of me, but God can. And so what does God expect for me to do with my limited view, with my limited conception of time? And what does he expect you to do? And the truth is, he expects you to wait. To stay on hold, to not hang up your faith in frustration as you endure all of the hardships of this life. Why? Because God doesn't break his promises. He never has and he never will. He didn't break his promise to Adam and Eve or to Abraham or to David. He didn't break any of them, but he always fulfills them in his time, when he knows it is right to do so. Your salvation is important to you. Your salvation is important to him, and he will deliver you. Please hold. But the truth is, this is hard to do. It's hard for us to wait, especially when we're going through personal trouble in our own lives. It's hard to wait day after day and simply going, I'm just going to trust in what the Lord has told me through a book. That's extremely difficult to do. And so what God does is he gives us instructions on how we can wait faithfully. Okay? He says, since all of the things in this earth and even in the heavens are going to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? According to the promise, wait for a new heavens and a new earth. And to sort of drive this point home, what Peter says here, I have a story. In fact, last year and this year, my family has done the same thing. And so what happens is my wife, and she's great, she takes paper and she cuts it into little strips and she makes this big, long paper chain. Okay, red and green and, you know, alternating and all that other stuff. And there are exactly enough links in the chain to designate each day until Christmas. And so, you know, what happens is now with Ethan and Naomi, they both get to tear a piece of paper off of their chain before they go to bed at night. And Naomi especially, because Ethan doesn't really talk yet, but Naomi especially, she goes, look how close we're getting to Christmas. Because she can see the chain getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Now, the truth is that time is moving regardless of whether or not she rips a piece of paper off. But it teaches her. It teaches her how long it's going to be until that day, and it gives her something to be excited about. Now, really, what happened, because she wants Christmas to be today, she knows there's presents involved. And so, really, if she could make time go faster by ripping all the pieces of paper off, I'm sure she would. But she's not allowed to do that, because we've told her that she's only allowed to rip off one link at a time. My friends, the Lord has only given us one day to live at a time. And so as much as we might see the hardships of this life, he hasn't told us that we can just sort of fast forward ourselves to the last day. We can't just fast forward ourselves through all the pain and hardship. It doesn't work that way. But he says what we need to do is we need to wait on hold one day at a time. And it means that every day we need to inform our lives with these promises found in the scriptures. That every day we need to rest in what Jesus has done for us, and every day we need to rest in what his law requires of us. That we need to restrain ourselves from ripping off all the links, you know, restrain ourselves in godliness and holiness and live according to his law. That way, when he comes again, when we make it to the end of the chain, when somebody finally picks up the call and says that we're the next one in line, we can be ready. We can be there to enter into the glory of God. But we don't do it because we've been great people. We don't get there because we have somehow, you know, done all of the right things throughout this life, but we get it because we've been waiting patiently in the promise of Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who grants us salvation. You know, our reading tells us we need to wait without spot, without blemish. We need to wait in peace. And the only way to do that is to do it in Jesus Christ. Because as John the Baptizer told us, he is the very Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. He's the one who lives a perfect life, a life that is not marred by any sin. That way he could be beaten beyond recognition and marred with our sin. That way he could take on all of the sin of the world and give us his holiness. That when God finally comes back again, we can be ready. Faithfully waiting for the Lord's return means being diligent in what Jesus gives. Resting in his promise as the word is preached, as you live your baptismal identity, as you're strengthened through the Lord's Supper. These are the things that God has given you that way you might wait faithfully. Because my friends, in these latter days, God's message to you is this. Please hold. Because in Jesus Christ, he has shown you how important your salvation truly is to him. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your forgiveness. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.